Beloved, I don't know what your experience has been. But for me, I've noticed that at Christmas, most of the stores, retailers, they'll be closed for the celebration of Christmas, with only maybe some essential things open. But when Easter comes, usually everything is still operating full steam ahead. And I think that's because it's easier for us to put our minds around celebrating the birth of a child, a baby. But when it comes to dealing with or celebrating somebody rising from the dead, that's a whole nother issue. In fact, as you hear the accounts of the gospel, those who were nearest to Jesus, those who walked with the man, saw him perform the signs and wonders. He even told them what would happen in Jerusalem and that he would rise. They heard him. They saw the signs. And yet, even they struggled to believe or fully embrace and understand what this event was all about and what it meant. For those who've never been or who have experienced the Easter Vigil, the whole church, the whole world is in stillness. Something has happened. After the shocking events of what happened Good Friday, darkness covers the earth. The women were running to the tomb to go and attend to it. But nothing could prepare them for what they encountered. An angel coming down like lightning, an earthquake accompanied his presence. He's sitting on the tomb. You can kind of imagine with a smile on his face. Burly guards that were set to watch to see that he wouldn't come forth from the tomb. They were like dead men. I know who you're looking for. Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen, just as he said. Go and tell his brothers he'll meet them in Galilee. They'll see him there. That was last night. A lot of unexpected realities took place. And that was precisely the message. There was nothing ordinary about the resurrection. It was extraordinary. And they encountered that extraordinary reality. And even encountered Jesus on the way to going to tell the disciples. Today, stone rolled away. Mary of Magdala, she looks, but she just goes back and tells John and the rest of them, Peter. The foot race ensues. The younger of the two gets there first, the beloved. But he won't go in. Love always defers to the authority. Peter goes in, investigates, sees the wrappings. We're told the beloved disciple, John, goes in. He sees and he believes. But yet both of them are still trying to understand, what does it mean for one to rise from the dead? He had to rise from the dead. This event, the resurrection, is multifaceted. It's not just that you and I are being called to believe that Jesus the Christ has risen from the dead, but we have to also come to terms with the fact that we participate in that reality. It's not enough just for us to know that Jesus had love for the whole world. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son. It's not enough for that. Now we have to wrap our minds around the fact that we have to love as he loves. Darkness has given way to light. Death now is a doorway to life, everlasting. Jesus, victorious over sin and death, has come forth. And yet and still, we are told that it takes the early apostles, the community of the believers then, it took them time to come to believe what they saw. What was the basis of them coming to have this conviction of faith, though, that Jesus the Christ truly rose? What gave Peter the ability to stand up in Cornelius' household and say the things he said? It was the fact that on the basis of what they saw, what they had heard, they now were encountering Jesus. As you heard him say, we who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. That's paramount. Without fail, every year, History Channel, A&E, these channels, they present us with the, they begin to trace the days of Christ leading up to his death and all that, and then looking at the evidence of the Shroud of Turin in presenting us with scientific proofs now as to whether or not it's authentic. Was it truly the one or was it not? And even with all of the evidence, and even with the more and more they look at it, it's authenticated. This is indeed it. It still does not take away the reality of what we come to see, what we can measure, what science can confirm for us. We still have to come to terms with what happened and ultimately decide, do I believe this? And that conviction of faith can only come about on the basis of what we experience in terms of our encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ. We encounter him every time we gather as we do. Jesus says, wherever two or more gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them, crucified and risen from the dead, in the proclamation of the word, in the presence of the ordained ministers, in the reality of the great miracle of the bread and wine being transubstantiated through the power of the Holy Spirit by the authority given to the priest in Christ's name. This is how it happens. Each time we gather as we do, we are encountering him. Now you have to understand, as we look at the gospel account of our blessed Lord's life on this earth, remember the widow of Nain. They were in the funeral procession. The coffin was being carried by the community. Jesus stopped the procession, touched the coffin, and told the young man, get up. He sat up. Jairus, the synagogue official, his 12-year-old daughter, was ill. By the time Jesus got there with Jairus, she was dead. He cleared everybody. There was a big rabble around there. He cleared them. He says, Talitha kum. He only allowed the mother and father, Peter, James, and John, to come in. Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And she got up. And probably the most stunning, and the one that foreshadowed the reality of what would happen after the events of Jerusalem that Jesus foretold, was when he called forth Lazarus from the tomb, who was in that tomb at least 4 days. There's one great distinction between those events and the one we celebrate today. Those people who were called forth from death were resuscitated. They were brought back to the same life they had before. This is truly confirmed in the way Lazarus comes forth from the tomb, still wrapped from head to toe with burial cloth. How did they find Jesus' tomb? Not as they expected it, I can assure you. I'm a priest going on 16 years. I've officiated at least 300 to 500 funerals in the course of these years. I have never officiated over a funeral after going to the cemetery to put that body in the tomb. I've never encountered a family member coming back to that tomb. And when they come expecting to see it opened up, and if they find it opened up, then their assumption would be, oh my gosh, somebody has come and robbed my loved one's tomb. But they would certainly expect to see mortal remains in the tomb. They didn't find that with Jesus. Nobody was prepared for what happened. on the third day. And just as it took them time then, it's going to take us time now to truly come to understand and believe. We can believe, but to fully understand, that's going to take a lifetime. In fact, we may not fully understand until, as St. Paul exhorts us, to think no longer of things of earth, but think of the things of heaven. For we have died with Christ and risen with him. We have to now look at the realities of what we're experiencing in a new way. Yes, we will see and encounter Jesus in familiar places. This is you and I experience our loved ones who preceded us in death. We experience their spirit, something about them, in familiar places, in the context of familiar activities. But they are not the same. They are not the same. They have been changed. Many of you are familiar. Heaven is for real. The little boy, remember when his daddy was showing him, when he was talking about he saw pops, he saw his grandfather? Oh, yeah, that's Pops. So his daddy started showing him the older pictures of his daddy. Is that, no, when he showed him the ones when he was in the military, a young man still in the spry of his life, that's Pops. Yeah, that's Pops. That's him. The daddy had tears coming from his eyes. And then when the boy disclosed about his sister that they lost, stillborn, before this boy was born, when he told his father he saw his sister, well, then that's when everything came undone. You see, it'll take us time. But time has also been redeemed in Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Scripture tells us. We are in process. And so based on what we believe, our lives now, when we extend ourselves to membership of the mystical body of Christ, people in the community, in the context of our ordinary goings and comings and our activity, when we embrace them, when we share with them the forgiveness and the mercy we've received, we manifest the risen Christ right there in that moment. When we embrace a sacrifice, some sacrifice, dying to ourselves, it's in that moment that love, a love that knows no end, a love that endures all things, hopes all things, never fails, that's when that love is manifested. Because a cross without someone hanging on it, dying for love of you and me, is simply a curse. Meaningless, senseless suffering and pain just by itself. But with the God-man on it, speaking those seven last words that continue to echo throughout time, so long as we understand why he's on that cross and how it is he was taken down, placed in a tomb, and rose again, then we too shall come to believe more and more on the basis of what is now empty, dormant. No longer is the cross of Calvary occupied with the body of Christ. No longer is the tomb, both of which are housed in the Holy Sepulchre in the Holy Land. I know, I've been there. I've waited like so many others. Because only four or five people can get into the tomb. And when you go into the tomb, what are you looking to do? Hopefully to see, to smell, touch, some might even try to taste something of what the basis of their faith stands on. And everybody enters and comes out the same way Peter and John and anybody else who's went to assess the reality of the tomb. We have to walk away from it, and we have to continue to return to it in the light of what has been, what is, and what is still yet to come, namely Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. just as he said he would. God love you.